And Jonah, in the midst of this book, he gives this proverb. And it's a very salient, impactful proverb that he gives, and that's recorded for us here in Scripture. And we're going to really dwell on that. I provided a handout. The handout is, I enjoy handouts, but it's something that we can you can keep, you can use to go back and study the passage, as well to use as a tool to help teach others. So let's read Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. We'll read this one verse, and then we'll begin in prayer. It says in Jonah 2, 8, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." Our Father, we come before you now. We just praise you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done for us and this day that we're able to assemble around your word and hear what it says and to heed its warnings and instructions. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So this is a proverb, a message of warning. There's many different messages throughout Scripture. And this is a message, a proverb of warning, of caution. And it's for believers. It's not for the unsaved who live for the world. Certainly it could be applied indirectly to them, but this is a warning from a man of God to other believers. So one of the number one tools Satan gets Christians with is complacency. It's, I don't need this, or I'm beyond that. That's the number one thing Satan gets from each one of us. So we need to understand complacency is the number one thing that is going to cause Christians to stumble. So we need to ask ourselves, is it possible to see myself in an unimaginable consequence, such as Jonah found himself in? We need to consider that. We have an enemy in Satan that hates us. He hates us. He wants to break up our marriages, ruin our families, get us out of the Word of God, get us out of church. This is a reality. And if we don't understand who our enemy is and what his intentions are, well, we're sitting ducks. And so today, we're going to learn from Jonah. And Jonah, he gives this proverb in a very critical point of his life. So some of the best lessons you'll learn are from people who've walked the walk, they've went through the fire, and then they, after coming out through all that, they can give you a one or two-liner, salient, clear point of do not do this or do this. And that's what happens with Jonah here. So Jonah, he's a man of God. He's a prophet. He's the mouthpiece for the Lord in Jerusalem. So he's not some he's not an unsaved person. He's a man of faith. In the broader context of the book of Jonah, Jonah had an issue with pride. He didn't want God's love and mercy going to the Gentiles. He just wanted it to be for the Jews. So he had a major issue with pride. And this ultimately led to his direct disobedience. So Jonah, a man of God, who had an issue with pride, he directly disobeyed the Lord. And when he did, the key issue is he did his own will versus the will of the Father. And so the lesson is the combination of pride, direct disobedience, doing your own will instead of the Lord's will, that combination is very dangerous. And that's a combination that any believer could fall into like Jonah fell into. And as Jonah is going to point out, that puts you in a position of no mercy. Puts you in a very dangerous position. And so we're going to look at this. So if you look at page one of your sheet, we see the context. And we're not going to jump to all these passages, but you see that first point there. It says, Jonah, he was a prophet in Israel that would speak the word of God to the people. So prior to Jonah, it's recorded in 2 Kings 14, one of the prophecies that Jonah was giving forth for the Lord, and he was active in serving the Lord. Now, it's key to note that Jonah, he was comfortable serving in Jerusalem, serving God's people as a prophet with the Jews. Now, if we in the book of Jonah, we look at chapter 1, verse 2, We see God, he commanded Jonah to arise, go, and cry the word of God to the dangerous people of Nineveh, the Assyrians. Now, this request is a very scary request. At that time, the Assyrians were extremely dangerous, dangerous people. They were not people to be trifled with or messed with. So a very dangerous request. And the Lord, he's asking Jonah to get out of his comfort zone of Jerusalem and now go to Gentiles of all people. So instead of God's will, Jonah did his will and fled to Tarshish, which was the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. So you look in Jonah 1, 2, and 3, it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so Jonah, he's leaving the presence of the Lord and going to, he's doing his own will. He's going where he thinks is best, not what the Lord would have him to do. So Jonah, he directly disobeyed the Lord's command due to his pride and disgust of the non-Jewish Assyrians, as we would see later in the book. He did not want to share God's mercy, his covenant mercy, with the Gentiles. And this is where his pride is, and that's probably the bigger theme of the book. We're going to deal somewhat with that today, but we're not going to focus on that issue. But ultimately, Jonah, he did not, as a Jew, he did not want to share God's covenant mercy with the Gentiles, especially the Assyrians. They were the world power at that time. They were doing terrible, terrible things throughout the world. Of all the Gentiles out there, I don't want to share God's love with them. And so Jonah, he has this pride that he wants to keep to himself. So ultimately, in chapter 1, verses 4 through 15, the ship that Jonah gets on, the Lord sends a storm that causes the men of ship to ultimately cast Jonah overboard, and subsequently, Jonah is swallowed by a great fish. Now, you look in verse 5, I think an interesting thing to point out. It says, "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Jonah was in a deep sleep during all of this. He was very comfortable and unoblivious of what the Lord was doing. And so one of the things we can just note here is that he was comfortable. And maybe, and this is a maybe, he could justify the sin he was doing. After all, he had been serving the Lord. He had walked in obedience for so long. And now, this one time, I'm going to do my own will versus the Lord. And so appears Jonah was very comfortable fleeing from the presence of the Lord and doing his own will. So you see that next point. It says, "In the belly of the great fish, Jonah, he recounts his near-death experience." So in chapter 2, he's recounting his near-death experience. So as Jonah is sinking to the bottom of the sea, remember he was cast overboard the ship, and he's sinking to the bottom of the sea. It's at this point that he prays to the Lord and succinctly realizes and states that his direct disobedience cost him the covenant mercy of the Lord. And this resulted in him sinking to the bottom of the ocean for an almost untimely death. So you see that all in Jonah chapter 2. So his consequence of his disobedience was now you have this esteemed prophet. He's a prophet from Jerusalem who's used his life to serve the Lord, and all of a sudden he finds himself cast over a ship and he's drowning and sinking to the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. Had he ever pictured he would be in that position? What a position to be in, and how fast a turn of consequences that was. And so you see this extreme picture here of this man of God who was serving the Lord, but he had some pride in his heart, and he was able to justify in doing his own will versus the Lord's, and that got him sinking to the bottom of the sea. And so now I keep bringing up God's covenant. It says God's covenant indicated there would be blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And so God, he made his covenant with Abraham that would extend not only to the Jews, but to the entire world. However, Jonah, as a devout Jew, he did not want to share that covenant mercy with the Gentiles. And that's a key point that he'll bring up in our verse, our passage today. And so in God's covenant, though, with them, there was protection and safety when his people obeyed the Lord, walked in obedience. So Deuteronomy 18 provides that, 17 and 18 provide that, that there is blessing and protection and obedience and cursing for disobedience. Such a basic principle. And God, he gave these basic principles to his people, but sometimes they become so basic that that's child's play. That doesn't apply to me. I'm a grown adult. I'm serving the Lord. And so this is Jonah again. Don't forget, he's a prophet. This is God's mouthpiece. He's the essentially an equivalent of a pastor, somewhat, we could say, today. And so he foregoes the protection and safety and the will of God because he does his own. And so we see with his final breath of air, Jonah, he looked again toward the holy temple of God and remembered the Lord. So we can look at that, Jonah 2:7. Actually, we'll read, we'll start in Jonah chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped up about my head." So Jonah, he's sinking. He's holding on for dear life with every bit of oxygen he can have before he opens his mouth and perishes. And so much so that his head is touching the weeds of the sea are touching his head. So again, did Jonah ever picture that he's going to be at the bottom of the ocean mixed up in the weeds? Verse 6, it says, "I went down to the bottom of the mountains, the bases of the sea. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." And verse 7, chapter 2 says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." And so, right at his last breath, he remembered the Lord. But how often is that really the position we need to be in with the Lord? Where he's going to get us within an inch of our life and then, all right, now I'll get things right with you. The lesson is obey beforehand. Learn from Jonah. We don't want to be a breath away from death, from severe consequences before we start obeying. And so Jonah, he said, "When my soul fainteth within me," he was at that last breath. Then he finally surrendered. He finally remembered the Lord, "And my prayer came in unto thee in thy holy temple." Now, so he goes through, he's recounting this consequence of him about to die because of his proud, direct disobedience. And he's taking us through the process. He finally gets that last breath, and he finally turns to the Lord. And so again, some of the best lessons people can give are when you've gone through the fire, you've learned a difficult lesson, and you can come out and you can just, I can give you a one-liner. I can tell you all about it. Well, here in Jonah 2:8, that's what Jonah has for us. So he comes out, and the first thing after the fact that I turn back to the Lord, the first thing I can tell any of you is, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." And so this is Jonah's lesson. This is fresh on his mind, and this is a succinct proverb that he has for, I believe, all believers in particular, that when you are going to go after the lying vanities of the world, and in this case, my will instead of thy will, you're going to forsake your own mercy. And so we look at, we interpret this this verse here, "They that observe," anyone that is actively observing, means to observe, to keep, or to guard something. It's an intense, repeated action. And so what was Jonah observing? He was focused on my will. He was intensely, repeatedly, my will, my will, my will. I don't want to go to the Assyrians. I don't want to go I don't want to go witness and share God's love with the Gentiles. I want to stay in Jerusalem. I got my own thing here. I can serve God here. So this isn't a matter of sin. Was Tarshish a bad place to go? Not necessarily. Did he have the freedom to go to these places? Yes, he did have the freedom. They weren't sinful things to do. However, when God gave a command to disobey the Lord, that's where the sin was. And so Jonah, he was intensely observing his own will versus what the Lord's will was. And so when the command came, this was where the rub came for Jonah. The Lord wants me now to go here. I don't want to go there. I want to stay where I'm at, stay comfortable. I've got a good thing going. And that's where Jonah, they that observe, he was repeatedly, intensely observing and guarding his will. Don't mess with my plans, God. So they that observe lying vanities. So this is essentially two words mean pretty much the same thing. Lying, that's false, worthless, evil, empty. All right, so anything that's ever lying, we probably should not partake. Something that's going to be destructive for us. And then vanities, well, the word behind this, it's meaningless. It's a meaningless idol, breath, a vapor. And so he was observing the lying vanity or the lying idol of my own will. And so for the believer, we need to look out for that. We can serve the lying vanity of our own will, our will versus the Lord's will. And this is in so many areas. Often we want the comfort of what we're doing versus taking the step out in faith. Or the uncomfortable, the different uncomfortable situations. Giving the gospel to the lost. We'll talk about many of those things further on. But they that observe lying vanities. So lying vanities, I put here, anything outside of fearing God and keeping his commandments. So anything outside of the word of God, we can automatically say, that's a lying vanity. So they that observe lying vanities forsake, abandon, leave behind, give up. Forsake, that's a strong word. And then finally we see their own mercy. So the mercy here, this mercy is the chesed love. This is talking about the covenant mercy, the covenant love and mercy with Jehovah that included protection and blessing. So Jonah, he's speaking to the Jews. It says, when you follow your own will versus the Lord's will, you're forsaking the covenant that God made with us, where as we obey, he provides blessing and protection. Now Jonah, he needed to do the opposite. He needed to encourage himself and say, I'm under the covenant love, covenant mercy of the Lord, and he's asking me to do something dangerous. I'm going to follow in obedience, and he's going to provide and protect. And so we see when Jonah directly disobeyed the Lord and followed the lying vanity of his own will, he forsook the protection and safety of the Lord's mercy, which is reserved for those that walk in obedience to the Lord's will. And again, as I mentioned earlier, it's the combination. So God's not a bully looking to discipline us right away. We need to understand this within the context. Jonah was proud. He directly disobeyed the Lord, and he followed his own will. And that combination, that's a dangerous combination that we need to watch out. And as Jonah points out, it's a combination of no mercy. You forsake your mercy. Hey, any protection or mercy that the Lord was going to give you, you're leaving it over here and you're going out there blind. You're completely vulnerable outside of what the Lord would have you to do. And so this is the lesson that Jonah's giving. This is the first thing he can think to say to those who are going to read this book, is that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So Jonah, he thought his will was better than the Lord's. However, Jonah found himself sinking to the bottom of the ocean. So this is again where we need to ask ourselves, are we too good to end up in a terrible, terrible situation? Are we walking with the Lord? Or are we perceiving that we're right with the Lord, okay with the Lord, that we can start to dip into sin here and there? We need to understand that once we start taking those micro steps of disobedience, pride, start to do our will, we can end up in some of these situations. And so, some application. Jonah, he warns that anyone who follows the lying vanities the world has to offer will abandon the mercy provided by doing the Lord's will. Another thing to consider, have you knowingly and directly disobeyed the authorities in our life? So who's our authority? Well, the Word of God. The Lord, He puts us in assembly. The authority in our assembly is the pastor that the Lord puts. And the pastor is to use the Word of God to give counsel from the Word of God and to guide and direct and to shepherd us. So have we knowingly or directly disobeyed or disregarded those authorities? For those who are still in the house, your parents. Are you disregarding your parents? Parents are put in your life to guide you according to the Word of God. Now, are you guarding and observing lying vanities in your life? Are there idols, primarily your own will, that you're guarding? And this is a difficult thing. At all stages of life, we make plans for our lives. So, mostly when we're young people, we've got our whole future ahead of us and we have plans. But midlife, we have plans. And later in life, we have plans as well. And so we're always going to have plans, decisions, choices to make. We need to be very conscientious that we are not following the lying vanities of the world, and that we're not contrary to the Word of God. We need to be very conscientious of, is this the Lord's will for me? The Lord, He has a specific plan for each one of us. As church members, that's to be in the assembly. That's a very basic one. And why is that such an important thing? Well, for obvious reasons, this is where we hear the Word of God. We have that consistent approach in the Word of God. I can attest, I used to be in a job that knocked me out of church every other weekend or sporadically, and I became convicted about that and the fact that I wanted to be in the assembly consistently. Amen. And I can attest, though, the growth, the trajectory growth of being consistently in the Word of God and serving the Lord and the assembly on a weekly basis, that made a huge impact and change in my life and my family's life. And so that, I think, is a key thing that we can consider. Now, if we look on the back page, these are two graphics here. And I put up the top, the way of blessing and the way of no mercy. The way of blessing is thy will, the Lord's will. The way of no mercy is my will. And essentially, which way will you choose? We all have to make these decisions on a daily basis. And so in gold, and I wanted the color to highlight that the way of blessing is in gold. The way of blessing, I put three verses there, and I'll look at those in a moment. But the way of blessing. It brings peace, joy, and safety in the will of God. It doesn't mean that it's a perfect life. It doesn't mean that we don't have trials. The just shall live by faith. It doesn't mean that adversity and tribulation don't come. But throughout all of that, when you are walking in obedience with the Lord, you can have the Lord's blessing. You can have peace and joy in your life. And this is what the world doesn't have. And this is what carnal Christians that have decided to go their own way don't have. They'll leave the Word of God. They'll leave going to church and assembling. And they'll go their own way. And that's a very dangerous position. That's a dangerous, dangerous path. And they don't have peace and joy. And peace and joy, those are internal things. So the smiles and the seemingly happy lifestyle, that's a facade. We can all fake that. But to have true peace, joy, and blessing, that's an internal thing that we have when we're walking in the Word of God and walking in obedience. So you see there, first Psalm 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. This is so basic. We've heard this verse a million times. But are you living a life that is going to walk in the law of the Lord? Are you living a life that I am going to look in the Word of God, hear the Word of God taught, and start taking steps of obedience? And so a life that has action towards the Word of God. Psalm 119:2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. So there's blessing from keeping the testimonies of the Word of God. That's the action piece. So do we have a life that acts on the Word of God when it's taught? James teaches on this. Are you hearers or are you a doer? And so when you're going to start seeing the fruit in your life, that's going to come when there's action, when there's obedience to these things. Psalm 1:1-2. This is another key verse, and this is where a lot of Christians go wrong. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so, many of us, we get saved, and this is at all stages of life, as a young person, as a middle-aged person, as an older person. We in the workplace, with our neighbors, wherever it is, we encounter the world. We're with the unsaved people, and they're acting the way we used to act. They're doing the things we used to do, and if we're not in the Spirit, we can make that connection and maybe take a comfortable step close towards them. And then you start to do that on a repeated basis. And then next thing you know, you're right back where you came from. And you're not being a light. And that is a dangerous, slippery slope. And many of us have heard this so much. We've heard it very often, but we cannot disregard. This is Psalm 1:1-2. David's first verse that he writes, that the Lord has him write, is this. He says, hey, Christian, you want that blessed life? Stay away from the world. Do not get comfortable with the world. Why? Well, one, their delight is not in the law of the Lord. We assemble here with believers today, and we delight in the law of the Lord. We enjoy what the Word of God has to say. We're blessed by it. Then we go to work tomorrow, and we're not by any Christians, and we're by unsaved people who could care less. They think this is absolute foolishness and nonsense. And then we start getting comfortable for them. Well, what do you call that? And what does that say about us? Who is influencing who? Are they influencing us, or are we influencing them with the Word of God? And so the way of blessing is obedience to the Word of God. So in Jonah's situation, the way of blessing was obedience, despite it being very difficult. And so the Lord, he puts us in situations that it's going to take faith. Lord, are you sure you want me to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, of one of the most dangerous countries of all time? They would put the Nazis to shame in Germany, some of the things that they would do to their enemies. And so for Jonah to walk into that pit of danger would require faith. But we need to understand that the Lord, He's going to call us to those difficult things. We need to walk in obedience and in faith and understanding that the under all that is the Lord's protection and blessing when we walk in obedience. Now, you see the deviant arrow below. It says, this is the way of no mercy, or my will. And so my will is anything contrary to the Word of God, to the Lord's commandments. And this is where we can forsake our mercy, mercy that the Lord would give us and provide for us. And so a few categories here. We have knowingly disobeying the Word of God. We have rebelling from authorities, parents, pastors, leaders. Then we have the choosing ungodly friends. This is a slippery slope. You choose these ungodly friends. You're now in dangerous positions, dangerous situations. And what do ungodly friends expose you to? They don't delight in the law of the Lord, but they expose you to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And they say, this is nice, this is what we're all doing, and this is what, you know, you don't do this. And so this is that way, where we put ourselves, where we're walking and sitting with the ungodly. Now, then I have on here fornication and adultery. This is sin against your own body. And so this is a progression. Now, does this only happen? Is this a message only for teenagers? No, absolutely not. Or is this a message just for young people? No, this takes place at all ages of life. And if you're sitting there, and for me, we need to caution ourselves that we're not complacent or comfortable. This could never happen to me. Because that is absolutely not the case. Many of us probably know grown Christians who were serving the Lord, and now they're not. And they're not in the way of blessing. They reap the consequences of following their own will versus the Lord's will. And so, fornication, adultery, that's sinning against the body. Now, with all this, we need to understand Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so, when we choose our own will, which includes sin, sin has consequences, and the consequences of sin, they lead up to death. Now, there's the fear, physical component and the spiritual component of that death. But we need to understand the world, as they live in sin, they are injuring themselves. Fornication and adultery, that's Corinthians tells us that's a sin against your own body. And certainly from a health perspective, there's disease, there's pain that comes from that physically. There's emotional pain and destruction there that leads to heartbreak. And ultimately, the wages of sin are death, suicide. Then we move on to, you see, drugs, alcohol, ungodly lifestyle. So the ungodly friends, that connection, they expose to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and pride of life. And then they say, try this. Or you're unable to cope with the stress of the world or with the consequences of your own sin. So when you're unable to cope with the sin and the consequences that you've chosen, what do people go to? They go to the drugs. They go to alcohol, ungodly lifestyle. Drugs that this all leads to loss of control, fear, anxiety. Alcohol, that leads to rage. The ungodly lifestyle is a life of perversion. And so this is the way that, this is the way of my will. And this is the way that believers, if we remember Lot, that they start to do their own will, and they end up in situations they never expected. Ultimately, the wages of sin is death. And finally, there you have destructive consequences. Again, this is a message of warning that Jonah gives us. It's a very clear, succinct message that they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So it behooves each one of us to consider the way that we're going. It behooves us that in our decision making, I'm not feeling optimal today. Do I want to go to church? It behooves us to consider these things. And it starts at a small level. The small decisions. I'll be all right today. I won't go to church today. I won't go to church next week. It starts out with these small things. Or I'm not going to spend time in prayer and reading the Word of God. I'm going to watch TV. Which one are you going to take? And it's at this small level on a daily basis. And as you continue in these small micro decisions to wander from the Word of God, this is when you start to become a little bit more comfortable with bigger decisions. We're going to take a few weeks off from church. I got this, this, and this. So for the New Testament believer, where's the protection for us spiritually? It's when we assemble around the Word of God in our assembly. And then as we're walking in obedience, and that being a chief component of walking in obedience is assembling in the Word of God. And as we're walking in obedience, we have that protection as we go on with our day. But these micro deviances from the Word of God, they lead to larger deviances where you are comfortable with larger steps of disobedience. So let's think about what Jonah had to offer here. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. We need to behoove that. The last point is we need to understand we have an enemy that hates us. We have an enemy that hates us. He flat out hates each and every one of us. He doesn't not like us. It's not like he could do without us. No, Satan hates God, and he hates people that are serious about God. Now, we have protection when we're in the assembly and in the Word of God, but as we start to get away from these things or take little steps away from that, we're exposing ourselves to danger. And so we need, in our spiritual walk, we need to take that very seriously. We need to be over conscientious of how's Satan going to try and trip me up today or get in. And a lot of this comes to our decision making and our priorities. Are we putting the Lord first? Are we putting the assembly first in our weekly and daily lives? So, again, this handout is something that you can use to continue to study this passage and then as well to teach others. I hope each of you will keep that and take care of that. And we'll close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come now. We just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Father, I pray that each of us will heed this warning and meditate on these truths and make these changes in our lives and help each of us to put your word first and to seek your word and to obey your word. Father, I pray for the rest of the services now. In Christ's name, amen.